This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. A fact-checker's job is to stand apart from the political fray, but the way facts are interpreted is a different story. A new study from the Duke Reporters Lab says there is a partisan divide over how fact-checking is referenced. The report says liberal sites are more likely to praise fact checks. Conservative sites tend to question fact checkers' legitimacy. Joining me now is Bill Adair. He's the founder of PolitiFact and the co-author of this report. Bill is also a professor of the practice of journalism and public policy at Duke. Welcome back, Bill.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Tell me more about this report, the scope of this study.
You bet. Well, our goal was to explore a suspicion that we had, a hypothesis that there was this partisan divide, and we wanted to see how big is it. And so what we did with my co-author, Rebecca Iannucci, we took our students and had them catalog every time one of the top five conservative or liberal websites made a reference to fact-checking. And the results were stark. The results showed that on the left, as you indicated, there's tremendous support for fact-checking, praise. Liberal sites cite it very positively. And on the right, conservative sites overwhelmingly criticize it, cite it negatively, belittle it. They'll even put it in quotes to suggest that fact-checking is not a legitimate thing. So I think our study shows we've got a problem.
All right. And when they say referenced fact checks or fact checkers, how many of those references that you cited and included in the report named the fact checking organization so that we could check its bona fides? And how many just referred to fact checkers?
Sure. The overwhelming majority referred to specific organizations like PolitiFact, the site that I started, the Washington Post fact checker, Glenn Kessler, and factcheck.org. So this is specific to the type of journalism where independent journalists take a statement and rate its accuracy, something you see not just in those organizations, but in the New York Times and the Associated Press. This has become an important movement in journalism, but we're not reaching the full breadth of the political scale with our work.
All right. Now, one implication of this is that it validates a claim among conservatives that that some of the media is, in fact, biased, and though even their quote fact checking has a kind of a liberal tilt. How do you control for that possibility?
Well, I think this does reflect that belief by many conservatives that the media is too liberal. And I think we need to begin exploring that. I think that for years, the people who run news organizations, newspapers, television networks have listened while conservatives complained about bias, but they haven't responded, I don't think, in any significant way. And I think the same goes for fact checkers. I think that we have generally heard that complaint. When we have a specific complaint about one article, we'll explore it and sometimes correct it. But I think we need to do more. I think that journalists need to reach out to people who are not supportive of their work, who are resistant to the work we're doing, and talk about why this is. Why is such a large segment of the country resisting political fact-checking as well as other kinds of objective journalism? And I think it's important to emphasize the political fact-checkers we're talking about here are independent, they're nonpartisan, they represent some of the bigger media companies in the country. So this is not partisan fact-checking, and yet there is this big divide.
And there's also a correlation in terms of some of the science that gets rejected. Again, if you're talking about conservative sites being the most likely to try to delegitimize, and also in conservative circles, although some of that's changing, tend also not to accept the authority of scientific results, climate change being one. So there's a kind of correlation. But again, what do you do about it? You talked about engaging, that maybe, you know, sort of sitting down and talking this over. What does that actually look like? Are these forums? Are these one-on-ones? You didn't like that article. Let's talk about that one.
I think it's both of those things. I think it's forums. I think it's one-on-ones. I think it is I think that fact checkers need to do more to understand conservative perspectives on issues. They need to make sure that their fact checks reflect conservative perspectives, even if that doesn't change the facts that are being explored. But I think we need to do all those things. And this is not, you know, I think there has been an attitude from my friends in the media, and I say this as a journalist myself, that I think we have sort of felt like, hey, we're going to give you the information and you can like it, not like it, whatever. And that has worked okay, but I think we're at a point now where we need to be more in touch with our audiences and figure out if a big segment of the audience is rejecting our work, we need to understand why that is and you know, try to maybe present the findings in different ways. Some of this is really deep-seated. There's a great book, The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt, that explores why people will reject facts that are inconsistent with their beliefs. And I think that's part of the issue here. And we saw it in 2016, and we've seen it in previous elections. People want to believe in their core values and their core beliefs, and they will reject facts that are contrary to those.
And in that book and in other research that's been done, it's because the cultural identity is personal identity. Sometimes accepting a fact that works against a cultural norm that I've developed and my group has is a kind of annihilation. It's a form of suicide, saying all of my beliefs, I believe in white supremacy. You can't make this go away by facts or everything I've believed in vanishes. What kind of conversation do you have when it's that visceral and, again, a close attachment to identity that is challenged with these facts?
Well, I think we need to recognize that fact-checking is not going to change beliefs, nor should it. You know, I think that, and I've always looked upon our role as we provide the information. People will say, you know, well, fact-checking didn't work because politicians still lie. Well, our goal is not to get politicians to stop lying. Our goal is to empower democracy, to give people the information they need to make wise decisions. And I think that there has always been the phenomenon of people rejecting facts that are contrary to their beliefs. But I think it needs to be more... this wholesale discounting of an entire form of journalism is very troubling to me and something we really need to work hard on.
You're optimistic that that work can yield results. Again, not so much in changing people's opinion, but in developing a market, a broader market for accepting objective research like this, fact-checking. Tell me how that works and tell me about your optimism.
I am optimistic. Well, I've been doing a lot of work with Google. In the Duke Reporters Lab, we have a partnership with Google that has resulted in Google highlighting fact checks in search results. And that's a really positive thing. And so no matter what you search for now, you know, if it's a political issue and fact checkers have checked it, you very well might see a fact check pop up in your search results that's highlighted in a unique way. Often they're highlighted on Google News. And this, I think, gets the accurate information in front of people. Now, they can weigh that with all the other things, with all the other data that they're considering and believe in whichever politicians they want and whichever political parties they want. But this is a really valuable first step. And I've also been involved with the fact checkers work with Facebook that is debunking fake news. So I'm encouraged that there are steps being taken by these big platforms that now are so important. You know, we were talking before the show about how your search results affect the ads you see. These things are so important. And so to see Google and Facebook stepping up to some degree in this, that I think is a really important step. I'm also encouraged by the growth in fact-checking. Fact-checking continues to grow around the world. We've had a strong movement here in the United States, and we're seeing it all around the world and in some pretty unlikely places like Turkey, like Iran, countries where there is not the sort of free media that we have here. So I'm hopeful. I look upon this moment as this is a moment of chaos of in information. And I think that With some smart journalism and some wise technology, we can take advantage of that and really empower people.
Does this also suggest, again, the proliferation of fact-checking organizations, that we're going to pretty soon need some kind of vetting process, some certification process to know, to check the validity of the fact-checkers?
Yeah, fact-checking the fact-checkers. Well, we've actually created that. We started even before Facebook, and we created a code of principles for the world's fact-checkers that is administered by a group I helped start, the International Fact-Checking Network. So we're making headway. I'm optimistic.
I will leave it right there, Bill, because I'm so happy to hear that on a Friday, that you are optimistic, and therefore so am I. Bill Adair, co-author of a new report about partisan divide over fact-checking, also the founder of PolitiFact and a professor of the practice of journalism and public policy at Duke. Thanks again, Bill.
Thanks, Frank.
Just ahead, the world of Sesame Street didn't prepare you for this. We preview a production of Avenue Q on stage at Raleigh Little Theater, and we'll do it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.